Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 13th of November. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the absolutely lovely Miss Bird on a Bike. You all right?
Yep.
You've got a mouthful of macaroon, haven't you?
Nope.
Massimo, who's our next guest, has bought a huge tub of...
Holy wine.
Of biscotti and macaroons. He's also bought some holy sherry in,
absolutely.
but Nettie's demolished that. So,
and I love sherry.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
One of my favourite
things. Not being funny, it's a cat fit.
So, welcome back. I think we might do another email or something, Bird, if you've finished eating. I love it when I can do this.
Yeah. Bennington wins top award for new build. Here he goes again. He's given me a whole A4 page to read. But don't you worry, I am a professional because I've just done my book.
Well, hold on. You've been doing a lot of reading just recently, haven't you?
I have. Can you tell the difference?
Yeah.
I have been absolutely fed up with my own voice
in
my head.
Now you know how we feel.
I know. I did say to you, I apologised immediately to you. I'm so sorry. You have to be honest. I've begun my Audible reading, so I'm reading my own book, which is hilarious. Mm. I just think it's so...
Do you think it's good?
I love it. I love my book. That's not being ego.
But the thing is, she's doing...
But
she's doing this audio for her own book, and she keeps realising that the audio she's doing doesn't match what she's written.
Can I just say, right, so you've got a producer now, but what's really funny is it's such a great way to edit your book as well. So seriously, if you're a writer out there, I'm doing this with my next book. I will be editing, reading it out loud. So I'll go, hold on, that doesn't read right. Or actually, I've said that early on. So it's a brilliant editing tool. Anyway, Bennington wins top award for new build. Thank you for that, Mr. Andrews. Bennington Hospital has won a prestigious award for £55 million redevelopment at the 2018 Building Better Healthcare Awards. It goes on, the judges say this has been a really very well done. The design has been provided a new hospital entrance. The reception area in particular is very welcoming. So Bennington Hospital beat strong competition from 9 other healthcare building developments through the UK. Hospital Development Project Director Graham Goddard said the hospital has repeatedly demonstrated that it is outstanding, and winning this award is another example of how together they've created an environment which makes those who walk through our doors feel special. Love it.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from the Romney Resource Centre who were listening to Steve, and they said, that's food for thought, you know. Smiles are infectious. A single smile can make so much difference to someone's life. A smile is a curve that sets everything straight.
Oh, I like that.
There you go.
I like that.
There you go.
It's the hormonal response that we don't really give the understanding to. Hormonal response. It's true.
Okay.
So we know that this is part
I'm not getting involved.
So there is an absolute physiological effect of what you're doing.
If you say so. Cool. I'll tell you what then. Should we do...
You're
getting fed up with me now, aren't you?
You're just going to mock me now, aren't you?
No, of course I'm not. I want to do our masterminding.
Okay, cool.
What do you want to do? What do you want to talk about?
I often get this question asked all the time, is what do you believe, Bird? Why do you do what you do? Mm. And actually, I was listening to a podcast with the CEO of Walmart, which is Doug McMillon.
Yep.
And he says he always approaches every challenge that they have with what's the belief? What do I believe this to be? Is this an opportunity or not? So in business, do you do what you believe you say you do? Mm. Nettie.
Say that again, though.
Do you believe that you do what you say you do in business?
Okay, yep.
Do the two match up, what you say you do and actually what you do? Mm. Are they actually the same?
I would say on a personal level, yes. I think sometimes, though, it's back to the classic, and I say this, and you can say it about any company, but does the website that you read actually give you the experience you expect?
Mm.
you know, that's the bit that really gets me. You see, I hate stock photographs on a website where somebody's clearly bought a whole range of very attractive looking people, stuck them all up and pretended that's their staff. And you walk in there, and I'm not being rude, I don't care what someone looks like, but straight away, the image they've portrayed is not who they are underneath.
Yep.
And that, I find, that's almost like splitting your own personality. Be proud of who you are and what you achieve. Mm. Don't pretend to be something else.
Yep.
So I think probably the person, I would think most genuine people would believe, even if others don't of them, that they're reflecting what they're saying and doing. But I think websites and personas can be completely wrong.
But they go out of date so quickly.
They do. And why not just be who you are? If that's what your staff look like, put them up.
You know, interesting.
If that's how you...
this is our hair, corporate engagement.
Which... which
and that's why you're on the radio.
Exactly.
Which airline does their own advertising? Is it Emirates? They have to actually have their own staff.
Their own staff
on
do
their,
it.
On their advert.
Yeah.
It's really important.
Mm.
But do you know what I mean with that?
Yeah.
That always frustrates me. And I have a bit of a mistrust, if that's the right word. Because when you look at it, you can almost look at it and think, yeah, I've seen her. She was on that website as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of the problems with stock photos, isn't it? You've seen the photos a million times anyway because everybody uses them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, in mirror to that as well, when I do a lot of speaking, and we've said this before about speakers, the photo they put up is never the person you see on stage. I'm like, hold on a minute, you're not who you say you are, and I'm at the back here with you. So I don't believe them either. So what you're going to tell me, I do not believe.
Absolutely.
I spoke at an event a few months ago, and the two speakers before me both said the same thing. They both had a photograph up of them, and before they started to speak, they both went, sorry, that photograph was taken a few years ago, yeah? And then the next one said exactly the same. I came up on the stage, and they put a photograph of me, and I went, I'm sorry, that's a photograph of me next year.
It's like you see somebody's LinkedIn photograph and it's like they were on a model shoot that day and you think, really? Yeah. That's not what you look like when you're at work.
Yeah.
Hey, I had a model shoot for all my stuff.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You are model material.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, whatever.
But coming back to, I mean, for me, that question doesn't really apply because my corporate website is a functional website. It doesn't tell you anything about our business. It does what it does because that's how we make our money, is out of the website. Yeah, so we just list jobs on it basically, so it does what it does. And we don't have a corporate site per se that says about us or the team or what we do.
How about looking at it like this way? So you've got this belief, you know that you're making this decision on this belief, you've got all the facts in front of you, you go home, you think, oh my god, I haven't got the courage to do it, I can't keep going, no, I don't believe this to be the right thing. Then you go back into it the next day and you go, no, it definitely is. Do you have the belief to continue through?
Well, yeah, but it all depends what you say about yourself as well and why you say what you say. Most of what I think you're kind of alluding to is laziness. Yeah,
I never said that.
No, I didn't. I know you didn't. I said that's what you're alluding to. But it's brought about by laziness, yeah, because people go, I don't know what to put on my website. So, oh, that sounds good, I'll put that on there. And, well, I'm not putting a picture of me on there because I look horrible. I know, I'll put a stock photograph on there. And so I don't think it's designed to deceive, per se. That's why I say it's more laziness than anything else, that people don't know what to put there, so they put something. And that's why you end up with this bandwagon effect where everything looks the same and sounds the same because everybody puts the same. You know, it's like CVs. We've got 450,000 CVs on our database, and I reckon 400,000 of them say exactly the same. You know, I'm great at working on my own, but I'm capable of working in a team and da 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 da. You know, they're just the same.
They're the stock answers that go with the stock photos.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's a stock personal statement phrase because there's very little for you to say, so people say the same thing.
Okay, so let's help. Instead of critiquing it and criticising it, how can you and I support somebody to absolutely believe in something so that they have the courage.
Don't you think some of it comes back to something we've talked about loads of times before, and that is to surround yourself with the, not only the right people, but the people that will be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think too many people go into business, do all sorts of things, and they say, yeah, I spoke to my family and friends and they thought it was a great idea. And it's like, have any of them ever run a business? Do any of them actually know what this is going to be like and how it works and all the rest of it? I do think people look for the easy answer rather than...
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's laziness. They're looking for an easy way out of what they're doing. But in fact, you don't actually need to say a lot, really.
No.
I mean, I'm a great one for just saying what I do, yeah? Mm. You can decide how well or not I do it and whether it suits you or not. I just tell you what I do. It's like, you know, Riff, we're accountants. We do your books. Next.
You don't think we should sex it up a little bit? You don't think
But that's the problem, isn't it? That's exactly where this thing starts to come in, because people go, oh, that sounds boring, I need to sex that up. And the minute they need to start sexing it up, you come out with all these trite phrases and silly things that you say and all the rest of it that you can't always substantiate or live up to. But why do you need to do that? You're trying to make yourself different, but you're not making yourself different because everybody's doing the same thing. I just think, why not just say what it does on the tin?
You know? Keep it simple, stupid.
Exactly.
Be yourself.
You know, this is what we do. This is how we do it. Some people that we do it for like it.
Yeah, there you go.
Interesting.
There you go. Done.
That's a question.
You know, in terms of...
quite like this. It's good, though, that we're poking the bear of this all.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Fruitworks, which is a place I own in Canterbury, it's a community workspace. All we do is our website just goes, we're a community workspace. We got desks. They're cheap.
Yeah.
Join. She's corpse now.
No, I was going to say something. So you wouldn't look at that and think, right, how can I make this? So, like, Bill Gates didn't say... oh, I'm going to start this thing. He was like, I want to get a laptop and the World Wide Web into everybody's home.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
Did he really say that?
No.
Right. It's true, though, isn't it? So really, could we look at... So let's take you as a model.
Mm.
Could we say that Fruitworks then is really providing the community with employment?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you could
sexing it up a little.
You could say anything you liked. You know, I could say, you know, is it raining? Do you want to come in out of the rain? Come into Fruitworks. Yeah, you won't be wet. you can put whatever you want. But at the end of the day, I think people are more cynical now because they're used to it. You know, we're familiar with advertising and marketing. Mm. And people just go, yeah, whatever. What do you do? Yeah, cut the fluff. What do you do? So with most of the things I do, I try to cut the fluff and go, this is what we do. Mm. Some people will like it. Some people won't. Yeah. You know, some people like Italian food. There might be someone in the world that doesn't. Huh? Yeah.
Who is this person?
Who is that
man?
Who doesn't love that?
Right, keep it simple.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know who we're trying to convince, them or us, basically, which is why I made the statement that I did, that I think a lot of the marketing stuff that people put out about their own business is just filler. It's just, you know, I need to put something and I can't think of anything original, so I'll just copy what everybody else put.
I'm not sure why on a number of if I go onto a website and have a look, and a lot of it, three quarters of it, is just flannel. It's just waffle. It's just filling up a gap. It's just colours or something. And I think, like you just said there, I'm trying to find an accountant.
Yeah.
Okay. And this accountant tells me everything apart from accountancy and everything they do, apart from the lady next to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know why a lot of people on their websites don't put case studies.
Yeah.
So I'd be much more interested if they gave me two examples on their website of how they've helped a business, right from the initiation of it through to completion, and give me examples about how they've actually helped.
Yeah.
You'd look at the website straight away and you know exactly what they do through a case study.
Absolutely, yeah. It's to be fair, it's like the Riff website. They've got blogs on there, you know, flat rate VAT versus full VAT. Yeah. Informational stuff that if you're looking for an accountant, it's the kind of stuff you want to know.
Practical.
So, yeah. It's just practical stuff. It's not even telling you that we're brilliant at it or anything like that. They go, this is the facts. Yeah. If you want to talk to us some more, ring us.
Yeah.
The whole idea being to get rid of the man in the pub who has an opinion but probably hasn't got it right.
Exactly.
Not a great lover of him.
No, no. Exactly. But so this living up to your persona is interesting, isn't it? Because I think there's a danger that it can only go one way, really. Because if you do live up to your persona, then people expect it. Yeah, so that's not really an advantage. So the only thing is it can go against you when people go, hold on a minute, you said XYZ and you've not done XYZ.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to ask that, Bud?
Well, my book the other week when I was reading it and I was going, oh, my God, did I write that? Did I believe that to be true at the time? Because it was 2 years ago, so we know the Audible, and you might be thinking, well, Bob, why are you doing the Audible now, 2 years after the book was published? Because we know it's the biggest point of publishing. It's the only place in publishing that is absolutely growing in a business is Audible, and I thought it's another way for the book to be heard, give it a bit of a zhuzh. It's a legacy, it's always going to be there, and then it brings it in nicely to what's happening next year with the next one. So And I was thinking, do I still believe that to be true? And then I was listening to this podcast, like I said, with the CEO of Walmart, and he was going, you know, really the biggest thing I work on is what do I believe to be true?
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? I'm about to write a blog myself.
I thought you were going
to
say book, Glenn.
No. Writing a blog's testing me to the limit.
Are you doing it into a dictaphone?
No.
I'm
going to write it in pencil.
On
a sheet of paper, yeah. I don't normally write.
No.
But this has just got to me now, and I'm going to write a blog about it, yeah.
Do you want to tell us what it is?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you. And it's going to start a row, and I don't want it to go on too long, so I want to talk to our next guest. But basically...
A row here?
You know, I do...
A row in here?
Yeah, and everywhere else.
Oh, exciting. Yeah.
Bring it on.
You know, I do quite a bit of work with young people in schools and colleges about the world of work, yeah. And the amount of people that will wander along and tell young people that they ought to do a job that they love is just driving me nuts, because it's cobblers. It's total and utter nonsense, yeah. When I was a kid, the only thing I loved was playing football. I wanted to be a professional footballer. The chances of me being a professional footballer was sub-zero.
So did you not do it?
No.
They did. Hold on a minute. You did play professionally.
I played football. I didn't play as a professional footballer.
Oh.
I did get paid, but at probably the lowest level that you could ever... I got £4 a week for crying out loud.
Professional?
Yeah. You couldn't live on it, though. but
surely you could have back then, though.
Oh, she knows how to wound you, doesn't she?
That's for all the finger jostling. You deserve
she's so
that.
Wounding.
If she needs to run,
Matthew,
you've got to get the door to get her out fast.
I love you. Go on.
For me, it's, you know, things that people love is meaningless. Yeah, they're things that people like and enjoy, but... the world of work is about using your talent. And quite often we love things, but that isn't necessarily where our talent lies. And one of the things about talent is the talents that each and every one of us have, and we all have talents, are such that you don't recognise it yourself, yeah, because it's something you can do. It's a talent, yeah? So you go, yeah, well, anyone can do that. That's easy. It's not true. But that is the source of where you should be working, is what your skills and talents are, not what your desires and dreams are, because your desires and dreams are fantasies for the most part. And it drives me nuts because it gives the wrong message to so many young people when it says you should always do work that you love. And they go, well, what do I love? Well, I love disco dancing, rock music, football. You know, it's an odd thing to tell people.
Well, we're taking it a little bit too far. I think what the essence of it is if you're going to work for 70 years of your life, do something that you love. I think that's a different stance from coming from yours of actually what do you love? Okay, go do it. It's yes, there is an element of it. I mean, I love being in business, but it's painful.
But do you know what I think actually happens? What I think the reality of life is that you have an inner set of talents that you kind of fall into using. And then what happens is you end up in a job or a role or a business in which you're using your talents and you gain experience and recognition for what you're doing. You then become more in love with what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because you know it, you get recognition for it, people respect you for it. So I think the process is actually reversed.
Well, isn't it Chris Evans who says, find a job that you love and you'll never work another day? Mm. He always says that about himself, doesn't he? Now, I doubt, you know, I don't know, he's not here, but I doubt he went to school thinking, I want to be the Radio 2 breakfast host.
Yeah,
exactly. But actually, and he obviously doesn't love it enough. Well, you've
almost hit the nail on the head.
Almost.
Yeah, because the person that came out with this first was Steve Jobs.
Okay, yeah.
Steve Jobs stood up one day and said, do something you love. But he was lying, yeah? Because Steve Jobs, his passion in life was art and dance, not building computers. Mm. Yeah. And he's a classic example of getting it wrong, yeah? His ability with his talent, which was to design and market computers for vast amounts of money, is what enabled him to indulge his passion for music and dance, not the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. That's my thoughts on it.
Who knew Paul would have an opinion?
Yeah.
Looking forward to the blog. Will it be handwritten and posted?
It will, yeah. Yeah, it will. In crayon. And I'm going to draw all the pictures myself.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm not going to use stock photos or anything.
And here's an interesting... And I'm going to support you here. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, go for it.
So, like, Stan Lee, who's just died, who was the creator of Marvel, he did not set out to build this multi-billion film presenting... He just... did a comic.
It did. People do stuff.
Exactly.
I've always said that.
No concept.
It's evolution. It's a process of evolution. If you try and plan your way to success, it's never going to happen.
No.
Yeah? It ain't ever going to happen. It's a process. It's always a process of evolution. I had an argument with someone. I'm a bit contrary about these things.
I love that word, contrary.
Yeah.
I think he should have a bonnet on.
People keep telling me about goal setting. I've never set a goal in my life, ever. And the reason I don't do goal setting is because I find them too limiting. Yeah, all the way through my life, I've kind of meandered all over the place. And when something turns up and you go, well, that's interesting, I might have a go at that. That deflects you, but can lead you in all kinds of places. Mm. And, you know, things like Stan Lee. Mm. The thing is, if he had a goal, I don't know what his goal could have been, but, you know, as a young man, he may have had a goal to become a banker. Yeah, and as a thing and part-time, he drew cartoons and comics, yeah? And somebody come along and go, blimey, Stan, you know, that's a brilliant comic. Yeah, no, well, don't interrupt me now, I'm doing my part two banking exam. Yeah, if you're over-focused on the wrong thing, you miss opportunities. That's just my view on it. Anyway, enough about me. Yeah.
Cool, we've had a great half-hour ranting then, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Good for us.
Do you know what we ought to do now? We ought to do something sensible now.
I feel really sorry for Massimo now. He's got to come in on this rant.
No. He's working from a base of...
He'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly, he will be, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, let's introduce Nettie, although she leaves our introduction. And she was on time this week.
On time.
She was on time.
Who knew?
Who knew, eh? Yeah. Was she watch slow?
November. On time. Yeah. She got round Junction 10 without having to stop. That's
really?
What I
did it. No, that's a major thing.
If that's not on the front page of the Kentish Express by Thursday, I'd like to know.
It's a mess up there, isn't it?
Just a bit.
Somebody said to me on a forum the other day, the trouble with Brexit is Kent's going to become a car park. And I went, you've not been to Kent recently then. It's been a car park for the last 10 years.
To be fair, if you're looking at buying a new car and you live in Kent, don't get anything that has more than 3 gears.
Yeah. You don't need them. You're wasting your time.
No point.
Yeah.
Absolutely no point at all.
Anyway, listen, look, it's great to welcome Nettie Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting back onto the show.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Cool.
I'm
and good. What have you been up to?
Just normal working, really.
Yeah.
Just working.
Accounting and stuff. Doing books.
Businesses and VAT.
Stuff.
No, yeah. I don't do any of that.
No. They've got people that do.
But no, it's been really good. It's a busy month. It continues the trend that I've said to you before about businesses in London. I was up in London last week with potential new clients again. Quite big businesses looking to use local accountancy here because these are
businesses that are trying to escape from the London cost of doing things.
They are, and I think that's wise. Yeah. Why would you not?
Absolutely.
And also, again, Ashford's placed so beautifully with a high-speed link coming down and all the rest of it. So, again, we've got the World and His Wife commutes from Ashford into London. So why can't
it works the other way around?
And we're finding a number of people live down this way, so why have an accountant in the city when you can have them down here?
Absolutely. Mm. So, Nettie, who have you bought us this time?
Well, what can I say? I've bought Massimo, and he can speak for himself. He's got his own story.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that you know, Massimo first met Rift a long time ago when Rift and Massimo were neighbours. Yes. When Riff was still very, very young.
Neighbours.
Where they were working in the town of Ashford.
So she's escalated Ashford above its weight now.
Oh, I've got round 10 in one go, seriously.
Now it's a city. Yeah.
So Massimo has known of Rift longer than I have.
Right.
Far longer than I've been involved.
Okay.
His wife has worked for us for a number of years. Mm. She's 12. Head of my payroll department 12. Now.
Fantastic.
And I'll let Massimo tell you about him and how he came to Ashford and what he's grown there.
Well, I came to Ashford as a case because... after the military service, composer in Italy, as a lieutenant, I was fortunate, lucky to be a lieutenant.
Okay.
Paid by the Italian government. I came to Ashford.
You didn't invade it, did you?
Well, I came as a legal immigrant. Illegal. And I came to work in logistics.
Oh, right, okay.
I worked 10 years in logistics in Italy. Before logistics, I've done my experience in catering and corporate, Trust House Forte, big names, big numbers.
Mm.
Being Sardinia, man.
You're from Sardinia?
Sardinia
is a sort of a paradise for 3 months. But, of course, we are 1,500,000 people and 5 million sheep and goats in winter. I come from a farming background.
Okay.
My parents are farmers, my grandparents are farmers. My grandpapa, he was actually a restaurateur. We actually go in Amici, a cheese grater, coffee grater, when he was in his trattoria. Trattoria means it's synonymous of agricultural tractor, which is not.
Right.
It was the restaurant for the farmers, I mean.
Okay, so was his restaurant in Cagliari or...?
It was actually in the village, yeah.
Yeah.
It was actually catering the German soldiers.
Right.
After the German soldier, he was catering American soldiers.
Yeah.
In the tight, different business.
Bring it on. Yeah.
The only cash in the... The militaries, which is true, because all the other people, including my other uncles and great uncles, they used to trade in food,
right.
Trade in commercial food, or trade in salt, trade in grain, trade in fruit.
Yeah.
So when I came to Kent to look for a logistic job in logistic, after 10 years of logistic, on the desk and the computer, I end up having the opportunity through Waterstones to open a coffee shop.
You see, this is a classic example of what I was saying.
Yeah,
this is a classic example. This man, he's got an army. Yeah, he's in the military. He's going to invade Ashford. Yeah,
and legally, he's going to legally
invade Ashford and take over logistics. So he opens a coffee shop.
as you said, I was talented to cater.
Hmm.
Same day, I've got the talents because I'm an Italian engineer as well. I install wood burners. I do upholstery as a hobby in my own garage, like Steve Jobs. And I fix a Singer sewing machine. It was just hobbies, you know.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I can make meatballs. So, in short, I came to Ashford as a coffee boy.
Sorry, I need to stop you there.
No.
He's fixing Singer sewing machines and making meatballs. Yeah.
I heard something completely different.
We knew Rift anyway because my wife, she was one of the few Polish girls to introduce Rift to the foreigners.
Yeah.
This case, the Polish.
When did you arrive in Ashford?
I arrived in Ashford 2002.
Okay.
And then I met my wife 2004 when there was the Polish invasion.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're one from Sardinia, one from Poland.
That's right. In that particular time, we couldn't find builders.
Yeah.
we couldn't find builders. And the actual Polish community, they actually paid our pension costs because we had a few millions working here and paying tax for the particular time. So I met my wife, Justina. And then when we set up Amici restaurant after the coffee adventure, we knew there was an opportunity for a family to trade as a normal, as simplified the system against the chains, because we love chains. I go to chains as well.
It's
a different it's a different format in a way. You go in a chain, it's a small restaurant. We try to be more, you know, authentic, real, simple, familiar. And the small restaurant, we cater, treat the client, the customer as a guest, and that's what we do.
Cool.
Rift help us to set up everything.
We eat there a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We like it, yeah.
But you see, I love that story because that's real life. Yeah. And that's really how businesses start. All this goal nonsense and doing what you love and all that, it's all nonsense, yeah? You do stuff until you get bored and do something else, and then you do something else, and then you do sewing machine and meatballs, and then and then you open a restaurant. It's obvious, isn't it?
Yeah. Why more people don't do it, I don't know.
Exactly, yeah.
Just not me, of course. Yeah. A team of working with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cooperating, as I said.
So, but I'm fascinated by this process, though, because it's great. So when did you open your restaurant?
We opened the restaurant. We opened Amici. Amici means friends.
Friends, yeah, in Italian.
We transform a sort of coffee bar in a restaurant with the other two friends and ex-business partners. And then we left the wives to work in a way. So one wife, she chose a name, and my wife, she chose a slogan. So Amici, basically, we say the same in Italian. Amici is the family you choose for.
Right.
You can't choose your sister-in-law, do you?
Exactly.
You don't choose your brother-in-law, but at least you choose your amici, your friend.
Yeah.
That's our slogan. It's working very well because in a small city, a small town as Ashford, keep growing up and growing up, a sort of friendly restaurant, family restaurant is working very well. Mm-hmm. At the moment, we got Amici's Italian, we got the Indian restaurant next to us, we got another French restaurant next to us, and then we will have the chains. All together we work anyway, like big radio, small radio, local radio, national radio.
It's there's room for everybody. And I think what's lovely about what you guys do at Amici is that it's all about fresh food. It's all about Italian food. I mean, your desserts are to die for. You make your own limoncello, which I could sit and drink all day.
We noticed. We noticed when you hit the sherry.
How about the Vincento? But as Annette said, you're right.
Yeah.
As a small business, we can actually cater in small quantities.
Yeah.
And we try to do everything fresh. Now, talking about meatballs, I won't be able to make 600 meatballs a week.
Yeah.
My own daughter, she's only six, and she can make 120 in an hour. People, oh, wow, it's a lot. No, it's only 2 meatballs every minute.
Good old Sophia.
And that makes it. Tiramisu is all fresh. Other ingredients we buy fresh. We do fresh.
What are you seeing on the high street? We hear this all the time. Each week, everybody says, oh, the high street's failing. Da, da, da. What are you seeing at the minute that the high street is still giving you?
To be honest, I don't see nothing wrong with the high street because Ashford's growing up. Lunchtime, we struggle to bring customer in town, but I don't blame the customer, the traffic warner. It's a matter of people's working lunchtime. So it depends where you are. If you work next to the cinema, you go next to the cinema for a lunch. If you work next to me, I'm not going to say.
You need a setting.
Fast food, you go to a fast food.
Yeah, sure.
And if you got the time to spend two hours, an hour and a half in Amici, we try to do our best to cater that particular professional in those limited space of time. Dinner time, we try to do our best anyway. Yesterday with the blackout, we catered everybody in Vincento. So.
How did you cope with the blackout?
We cope because the blackout...
Salad,
mozzarella, bread, sardine and pane carasau bread, got shelf life of 1 year. And coffee machine, no electricity, Vincento. And of course, card machine didn't work, so no money. They just gave a donation and... tips and they're happy.
Yeah.
One customer said, she said at the beginning, oh, I don't want to share my salad, I don't want to share my sharing meatballs with other people. Then she understood that was actually sharing food. Even Vincento, she loved it, and everybody left happy.
A few of those, yeah. And it all went out the window.
But I think it's moments like that that actually, when you see the best of people in the worst of times, don't you?
Mm. Yeah, I love it. I love it. They pay the wine because some people said to me, oh, no, we need to pay the wine because we knew it all, but the blackout, we want to pay the wine. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. I love it.
But Bert's right. Those kind of opportunities, if you play them right, can work in your favour.
Of course.
You know, I got caught in Tesco's once during a power cut. And the manager came over and he just went, what do you normally pay for your shopping? And I go, about 80 quid. He went, give us 80 quid then.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So I went round one more time. And no, I didn't.
You went and got the caviar.
Saying that is right, because there was more people at lunchtime with the candles than at dinner time with electricity.
But it's interesting. So how many people do you employ?
We do employ, as I said before, a few mamas. One of the mamas, mother of two, she's a professional chef, and she's very flexible. We do employ students. We do employ a chef, professional chef, a Polish guy.
Yeah.
His name Alberto. Hi, Albert. And he did work in different corporations, including Istvo Manor. He did work in Sardinia. It doesn't matter the nationality, really.
Yeah.
You know, we are a family. And we work all together as a family.
Okay. Being from Sardinia, which is kind of slightly different from the rest of Italy, it's got its own culture.
It's a bit, no stress, relax. Yeah. don't get confused. In winter, Sardinia is like Ashford. Yeah. Be honest.
Yeah.
It's raining, it's cold.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got wood burners.
So what you're saying is it's not the time to visit, it's not in winter.
No. Christmas is, for me and for my family, Christmas is always UK.
But in the restaurant, in your restaurant here, do you have any Sardinian traditional dishes that you do?
Yes, we support the local producer, we support the local butcher, we support the local fishmonger, and we also support, we've got Sardinian importing goods.
Okay.
We got a speciality black pasta. I come from Sardinia with the ink squid black pasta, just very tasty fish pasta. We got the Sardinian bread, we got the Sardinian fregola, which is, it's getting very popular now in the posh London restaurant. It's like a Sardinian couscous, basically.
Yeah.
And, of course, we do accommodate the English taste and the Ashford taste.
Yeah.
We do lots of chicken.
Right, okay.
And that was my own experience, because I knew about Ashford. When we had the coffee bar with Justina, we had 19 paninis, about 17 paninis, they were chicken paninis.
Massimo, as an Italian, do you get really cross with us UK people who add the sauce? Which way do you do it? You add. I always add the sauce on top of the.
Pan. Yeah, you're based for dinner.
Terrible, then.
You've obviously had him over for dinner at some point.
Some mamas, they do like you. Other mamas, they do like me. They do upside down. So
I want to do the jumping thing. Then.
A good wok, a good fry pan, and a bit of olive oil. Not much butter is no good for you.
Right.
And what's the most popular dish? If you said, the most people order this starter, this main course.
Meatballs.
This dessert. Tiramisu. This dessert. Which would
you... you can actually see in TripAdvisor the most word voted by the customers.
Yeah.
We got nearly 1,000 reviews built up in 4 years and a half of hard work between me, my partners, my wife, all the team, any student, and... customer help as well. Yeah. Sometimes customer, they are part of the family. Most of them, they're also family friends.
Yeah.
So in actually TripAdvisor, you could see, of course, something negative is normal. It can be everything positive. You can see tiramisu. You can see pasta, risotto. The most common word for the Italian.
Okay.
Recommendation.
We should have our Christmas do there.
We should have
our Christmas do at yours.
You still open for bookings yet?
Okay. How many tables do you have?
The maximum we did cater as NHS doctors was a few years ago.
We
cater like 48 doctors and another 48 nurses. Mm-hmm. Pre-order, please. We are not octopus.
We'll have the risotto and the tiramisu 48 times, please.
So is it normally about 48 covers you have?
Mm.
Yes, 48, 50 covers.
Okay.
Depends on the day. Sometimes you could have 30 covers and get more money than 50 covers, £10 each.
Yeah.
What's your secret? How have you kept the business going?
I try to follow the life, the times. When it was a coffee bar, we knew that the coffee, it was inflated by fast food, supermarket.
Mm.
And then we decided to go as Amici. Mm. Hopefully it's going to last. As I said before, we need more families, more people. It's passion. It's about passion.
Mm. Mm.
Everybody wants to copy each other, and we try to be honest and simple and original as we are.
Yeah. Can you remember your train of thought at the time? What did you go through when you said, "You know what? Let's move from being a coffee bar to being a restaurant." What did you have in your mind? What inspired you to want to do that?
Well, to tell you the truth, as you said before, you know, you got your talents inside your blood, inside your venous, inside your skin. I was getting a different story. It was changing, looking after family, because sometimes all the time you spend in your life and you don't get back from when you miss the time with your children. I was going to give up everything.
Mm.
I was. Mm. And then friends came over. We decided to together. And partnership worked very well. Family was not affected.
Mm.
Actually, saying that, we try also to change from restaurant, and then I became an eater's engineer, installing stoves, which I've got one in the restaurant, up and running, one in my house, and we carry on. Mm. So
cool.
We are actually the success of our own destiny.
Mm.
Something we were talking about earlier, how did you find moving to Ashford? Because I know you said you got involved
I was going to ask that. What made you pick on Ashford in the first place? Yeah.
Every time I tell this story, everybody laugh.
Okay.
I came to Ashford through Eurochannel. They rip me off £270 or euros or money. I end up in the end junction 9 on 10, and I need pounds. So Sainsbury, I got pounds from Sainsbury.
Oh.
I was sleepy, and my brother told me, "How did you stop in Ashford?" I felt sleepy. Which is true.
Right.
Stop in Ashford. And
it makes lots of people sleepy, Ashford.
Yeah.
Well, there's a point where the N20, you need to stop.
Yeah.
Because it's very, very much... straightforward. You need to stop.
Do you feel this is your destiny then? I think so.
Because my final destination was actually Dartford in logistic.
Oh. Right, okay.
Then
you swerve one there, Massimo. it's a good job you get sleeping quickly.
That's right. I'm a big sleeper. I love sleeping. That's why I need to go a siesta, somebody to sleep. Saying that, we are a part of the community, because the children, they go to the local school, the local church. We got two churches actually involved with it.
You made her laugh.
Must be the holy wine.
He's brought holy wine.
That's classic.
But you're right, and like you said to me earlier, you got involved with the Chamber of Commerce, the support networks.
I remember Rift when I met... Mrs. Post and Reef team, there were 5 or 6 people next to me.
Right. Then, so this being next to each other, how did that work?
Well, Rift used to be, before it was as big as
you had a shop, before you were accountants, you had a shop.
No, the accountants were, the Rift was run out of a small place in Ashford, and as it's grown, it's just gone into bigger premises.
It's still there. It's called Hydra House. It's a lovely building, listed building, beautiful building.
Yeah, it's still there. But it's that's just how Rift's journey went. So it started off there, and it grew bigger and bigger.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's sort of accounting.
Yeah.
Cool.
There you go.
Well, Massimo, we're pleased that you ended up in Ashford, and we're pleased that you gave up on the sewing machines and wood burners and opened your fabulous.
I know he is.
Yeah, that's a hobby.
My main occupation is.
Yeah, that's his love. He loves a wood burner, but his talent
and a sewing machine.
His talent is restaurants. Yeah, absolutely. We're pleased that you open Amici in Ashford, and we wish you continued success with it. Yeah. Have you got a website where people can come and look at what you do?
We got Amici website, we got Amici Facebook, and we got also Amici TripAdvisor,
right,
which is the most important for photos. It's more realistic, yeah, as you said before, about website and photo, what photo to do.
Yeah.
So all the photos in TripAdvisor or Facebook, they actually by customers.
Right. Okay, cool.
So, which is nice, you know.
Yeah.
People want to, sometimes you don't know what to order.
Yeah.
And if you are not lucky enough to order the same food next to you, otherwise you go for, have a look in the photos.
Well, absolutely.
Pasta or sauce on top, sauce on the bottom.
Tiramisu.
Master Beth, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunk Show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. We are going to come and experience your restaurant, are we not? We're going to come mob-handed. I don't know if we can get 48 doctors to come with us, but we'll try.
No, you can only take 40, however many, because it needs enough places for you, don't forget.
46 doctors and me and her.
46 doctors and you.
She is a nurse.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I was. I'm not anymore. Yeah, God, years ago.
Yeah.
They've all changed now.
Massimo, thank you so much. Thank you very much. We wish you continued success.
Thank you.
Love gifts and flowers.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. Biscuits and wine.
Well, it's still the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
Love it.
Works for me.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. We've not got very long left of the show, and we've got a few emails and things to read. Do you want to read something out?
I do. This is really important because we went last year and it is brilliant. Booking open for the next Kent Business Summit. It's on the 11th of January 2019. It's at the Kent Business School Uni of Kent, Canterbury, bringing the public and private sectors together with startups and entrepreneurs to discuss how to sustain economic growth for the county. For the county. So the details of this,
www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS.
You must go. There was about 350 people last year.
Yep.
Really influential people there. You must be seen.
Yeah, the format of this is, it's open. The summit is opened by Kelly Tolhurst MP, the MP for Rochester, who is also the Minister for Small Business. And the closing speech is Rosie Duffield, who's the MP for Canterbury. In the morning, there's some keynote speeches about what's going on. In the afternoon, there's a whole series of roundtable workshops that you can join in.
A lot gets done in those roundtables.
Yeah, it does. It does indeed. And it feeds back into a big report. I'm chairing one of the roundtables.
Of course.
I'm chairing a roundtable on diversity, equality, and supported needs in the workforce.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. But there are lots of other roundtables going on. At the end of the day, all the information participated in at those workshops is compiled into one big report. Mm. So it produces action. It's a good event.
They put a white paper together, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. What else you got?
I've got Kent Women in Business Lunch.
Yep.
Thursday the 6th of December 2018. Nettie, you'll be going. Eastwell Manor at Ashford, 11:15 till 2:30. And this is chaired by Emma Lydiard, and she's the MD of Global Radio Kent. Mm. Find all the details and book here. So that's www.kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk. You're on the ball.
I am. Building Business with Purpose. This is a social enterprise Kent, and they're hosting a key social enterprise conference on the 23rd of November, and it's for social entrepreneurs in Ashford. There are only 50 places in total, so if you want to come along, you've got to kind of get in quick, otherwise the places will go. To register your interest, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/SEK conference.
We are holding our monthly networking event on Wednesday, the 28th of November. And this is at Kent Space. Drinks, nibbles, networking. Join Jules and the company at the Empire Rooms.
Oh, no, that's two different things.
That's two different things, but we'll go into it again. Jules.
Now, before you go to Jules, just the Kent Space one here.
Kent Space one.
The speaker is Brian Hall, who's talking about grants that are available.
Perfect.
Yep.
And then we've got
Slope Off.
I'm sorry, Slope Off Friday,
yeah.
The Christmas party, Friday the 7th of December at 2 p.m. till, could be 24
till
hours.
Thursday, Friday, hours. You know how long that goes on their lunch.
Non-FSB members are welcome. So you need to contact Jules. It hasn't given us a contact detail.
I'll tell you, it's at Press Up Group is her Twitter.
Go.
I'm running a 30-30. That's... helping us bridge the gap between school and business. We need business owners and managers to join Business Bunker Radio and Jobs in Kent and the FSB Kent to inspire the next generation of talent. And our next event is at the Longfield Academy on the 21st of November. So do come along. It's only a morning. Everything's free. We get to talk to a bunch of A-level students about the world of work. They tell us what they want from work. We tell them what we want from them. It's a really good day. It's loads of fun. And if you want to find out more about the event and find out the calendar of different schools that we're going to be at, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/3030.
Perfect. Tomorrow on my show, The Conversation, at 1 till 2 on Wednesday, I've got Jane Paynton. Jane is the CEO of School of Booze. So we're going to literally, I know, right? You should be in here.
School of Booze.
Yeah, that's her. She's the first sommelier of beer. She's amazing. I'm hoping she brings gifts and flowers in.
and maybe you could bring Massimo.
Massimo, come in, School love. You'll booze. Love it.
What do you reckon?
So she's one of the top women in the country are a sommelier. Really excited. Wow. We're going to talk all business.
Fantastic. I need to tell you about this. And I've had to change the name for radio. We're going to call it the Failure Night in Medway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know. So it's taking place on the 16th of November at Dragon Co-working. And this is Volume 2. After the great success of Volume 1, Volume 2 will be even bigger and better. We have four great speakers all sharing their business failures. Yeah, Tony Burke from Chips and Dinks, Tom Lawrence from Art Sparks, Andrea Barker, Confidence Coach, and Sean Murphy, Storm Chasers Digital. There'll be live bands, gourmet hot dog snacks and drinks for all on another great night. Dragoncoworking.co.uk for details. And do you know what?
It's that time, isn't it?
It's that time. Brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to everybody that tweeted, emailed and participated in the show. But most of all, thank you to our fantastic guest, Mr.
You.
Steve Nash, representing Stacey Smiles, the lovely Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting, Massimo from Amici Restaurant here in Ashford, my lovely co-host, Bird on a Bike. Just to let you know, on Friday is... the Business Bunker Extra Show, and this week the co-host with Amanda is Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, and their guest is Jane Meacher, who's from the Aspinall Foundation. That's at 11 o'clock on Friday. But we'll be back next week with another show. See you all then.
Have a good week.
Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.